Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
There and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's so good to be back with you here for another program. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Advent. I call the theme for this week, He's Coming. You know, last week, in our readings, the church presented a clear message to us. Don't let your guard down. Be ready. Don't fall asleep. Don't get drowsy. You know, that idea of wake up. Something is about to happen. Now, today, I think as I look at these readings, the church takes it to the next level. And the message that comes across is the Savior is coming. The one who you've been waiting for. He's coming. And you know, Advent is absolutely a season of waiting. And for many of us, we don't like to wait. I know I don't like to wait. But in the spiritual life, waiting is incredibly important because it teaches us that God's in charge and we're not in charge. You know, you look at the idea of the Messiah taking so long to arrive in the world. That just goes to show you God has got a different timetable than we have. And I think it's a healthy thing for us to learn, to really understand that he's the one in charge, that ultimately we're not in charge. And that if we are to follow him and recognize him as God, then we should be willing to follow his timetable. So that's what we're going to talk about in today's program, on today's program, I should say. Hope your Advent is going well. You know, we're a few weeks into it now. And I'll tell you what, one thing about Advent, it goes by quickly. So I'm going to try to do my best as good as I can. I'm not sure the exact wording I should be using there, but to the best of my ability. How about that? I'm going to try to the best of my ability to make sure that together we're going to be prepared to welcome Jesus on Christmas Day. We will talk more about that after we pray. Right now, let's take a break and pause and turn to our Father in heaven and chat with him a little bit. And if you will join me, I want you to remember, wherever you are, the Father is with you, as is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So let's send up our prayers now, okay? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, wow, this is a special time. We are grateful for this time set aside to prepare to welcome your Son, Jesus, more deeply into our lives. Father, as we enter the second week of Advent, we pray that we're able to better appreciate and anticipate the gift that you are constantly willing to send into our lives. True, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, but he's always willing to enter more deeply into our lives if we make the effort to welcome him. So we do that today, Father. We express our desire to welcome Jesus more deeply into our lives, realizing that we're going to have to make some changes in order to make room for him. We ask, Father, that you give us the grace to be able to do that, to be able to keep our focus on Jesus, especially in the upcoming weeks when the stress begins to grow, As we get closer to Christmas, there's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of anxiety that can creep in, and it's very easy for us to lose our focus. So we ask that you give us the grace to maintain our focus. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over us and our family, to keep us all safe from any spiritual or material danger. And we ask that during this Advent season, we can grow closer to your Son, Jesus, and ultimately closer to you. Father, I'm going to ask that you give me the words for this program. I know that you have a message planned for us, and I in no way do I want to get in the way of that message. So I ask you to give me the words. Allow me to speak the message that you have for us. And please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Heavenly Father, I ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for so much for listening to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and this is the Gary Zimek Show. And as I said at the start, we are in the second week of Advent. We're going to be looking at the Mass readings for the Sunday Mass readings for the second Sunday of Advent. And it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that Advent is a season of preparation. It's a time of preparation given to us by the church to prepare to welcome Jesus. Now, theoretically, the Advent season is designed for us to prepare for the second coming of Christ. Ultimately, that's the objective. But there's really more to it than that. We don't know when that second coming is going to be, and I've talked about this with you before. We can sometimes tend to procrastinate because we're not sure when he's coming again, and then we get caught up with, as the gospel said very clearly last week, with the anxieties of daily life. We get caught up, and we sometimes, especially with the Christmas preparations for Christmas, the baking, the visiting, the present buying, you know, you get so caught up that you can just really lose sight of the need to prepare, because we think, well, he was either born 2,000 years ago or he's coming at some point in the future. But the anxieties, the preparations, they just become so much more real than the second coming of Christ, and we can get distracted. So here's what I proposed, and I've talked about it on the program before, the idea that we set this goal of December the 25th, which is Christmas Day, and say that on that day, we wish to fully welcome Christ more deeply into our lives. You know, that doesn't mean we don't have the occasion to converse with him and to walk with him and to receive him in the Eucharist every day up until then. We certainly do. But if we make preparations, right, for every day from now until December the 25th and do things, look at the daily Mass readings, pray, go to daily Mass if at all possible, receive the sacrament of confession, you know, do all these things, read some extra scripture if possible, some spiritual reading. If every day we do something, you know, even if it's for a couple of minutes, and we walk with Jesus, you know, because we certainly aren't going to deny the fact that he is accessible to us right now. We don't have to wait for Christmas. But if we set that goal of Christmas to welcome him in a more complete way in our lives, by doing the preparation each day from now until then, on that deadline day of December the 25th, Christmas Day, our preparation will have made it more possible for us to welcome him in a full way. You know, you do the little things every day leading up until Christmas. Then when Christmas rolls around, you're going to be more prepared to welcome him into your life than if you just said, all right, today is the day. It's D-Day today. No, we're going to go through the season of Advent, listen to the readings, let the church guide us, which the church does a really good job of, so that on Christmas Day, our goal is to be closer to Jesus than we are now. You know, because he's willing to come as deeply into our lives as we want to let him, as we allow him to. But it really is dependent upon us. So I'm saying, let's one day at a time continue to walk through the Advent season and try to grow a little bit closer to him each day. I want to point you to my website, followingthetruth.com. My daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, it's going to be focused on Advent for the remainder of the Advent season. So if you are not a subscriber to my daily email reflection, please visit followingthetruth.com and provide your email address and you will be all set. In the meantime, have a look around the website. You can find out about my latest book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. You can find out about that and all of my books at followingthetruth.com. All right, let's look at these readings today. Again, these are from the second Sunday of Advent. And the theme today, I call it He's Coming. We're going to look at John the Baptist in the gospel today, announcing that, okay, now that you're ready, you know, last week was all about get ready. Don't fall asleep. Stay alert. Today, the message goes to the next level. The Messiah is coming. So let's look at the gospel. I always start with the gospel. If you're a new listener, we always kick off this program with the gospel. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. Okay, so John the Baptist, who we're talking about here, he is about to get his mission. He's about to get a message that he is to deliver to the people. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now, I'm going to try to get the wording right. It's tough to really put this into words that do justice to what's happening. But let me get back to that day, December the 25th, Christmas Day. Assume that on that day, Jesus is fully prepared to really get involved in your life. Now, all of us involve him maybe to an extent, but I'm saying all of us. I'm making that assumption. All of us struggle to involve him completely in our lives. My wife and I were talking earlier today, and we've got a bunch of things that have to get done. These are things that are really, I would call them annoyances. They're just scheduling conflicts. We have to schedule doctor's appointments and car appointments. We have somebody doing some work in our house, work that absolutely has to get done, sort of emergency type structural work that has to be done. And my daughter sings in the choir. My other daughter's in charge of the young adult group at our parish. So all these scheduling things that can easily make you want to pull your hair out, you know, and then you throw all of the Christmas preparations into the mix, and it can be very burdensome. It can be very anxiety producing. And what we have to do is focus on the fact that we need to concentrate on welcoming Jesus on Christmas. You know, that's that day that I'm using as the end point. Because if we don't have an end point, chances are we're never going to really do this. And say on that day, I want him more fully involved in my life, meaning that I'm going to turn over the junk to him, too, the stuff that causes me a lot of anxiety. I mean, it's something that I should be doing, but I don't always do. And Advent gives me the time to work on that. So on that day, I want to make sure that I do that, that I am giving him control over my entire life to the best of my ability. But in order to do that, I've got to make some preparations. The first thing that's necessary is to recognize that I really don't give him control over many areas of my life, and I cause a lot of anxiety for myself when I don't do that. You know, Jesus, help me make these appointments. Just help me stay peaceful. Help this work out. You know, just say a little prayer for the different things. So Christmas is coming, whether we like it or not, whether we're ready or not. And Jesus is standing by, fully ready to get as involved in our lives as we'll let him. So by making the conscious decision to spend some time each day preparing, recognizing that there are times when I don't let him in as much as I should, you know, making that conscious decision and preparing is really going to determine how fruitful that Christmas gift will be to me. And of course, that gift I'm talking about is Jesus. But it really depends on me. You can count on him. He is fully ready to get involved, but I might not be fully ready. So in order to recognize the areas where I may be lacking, the areas where I don't give him control, I have to spend a little time and think about it and pray about it. So that's really what the Advent season is all about. And John the Baptist today is this idea of the baptism of repentance. Repentance means something. A change has to take place in my life. That word for repentance is the original word used in the Greek manuscript in the Gospels is metanoia, which is an internal conversion. It's a change of heart. It's an internal change. Am I willing to make that change, to make that decision, to break free from trying to control every area of my life, even those areas I can't control? Am I willing to break free from all the sins that I commit because I'm looking for the instant pleasure, the gratification? Am I willing to have that mindset to say, no, Lord, you are Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. You're the boss. I'm going to really turn things over to you. That internal change, that repentance, that's what John the Baptist was talking about. And really, that's what we're all called to. Now, let's look at the first reading. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice from God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. I like that. Take off your robe of mourning and misery. I was experiencing this earlier today. By not letting Jesus get involved in my life, you know, I don't necessarily do this consciously. It just sort of happens subconsciously. By not letting him get involved, I'm going to be a miserable, stressful mess unless I learn to turn to him more. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Now, we certainly have something to rejoice at. Jesus Christ wants to be more intimately involved in our lives. That's a good thing, because there's a good chance that you are experiencing some level of stress right now. The Lord doesn't promise to take away your problems. He never promised that. But what he does say, that if we come to him, if we turn to him, which is essentially what we're trying to do throughout this Advent season, we're making preparations to do that. If we come to him, Matthew 11:28, if we're weary, we're burdened, heavy laden, he will give us rest. And that rest is what we're looking for ultimately. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forest and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. So here we're looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Again, that idea that he wants to come more deeply into my life today. Today meaning throughout the next how many ever days are left of the Advent season. Setting that end point of December the 25th. That's just that target date. Okay, that's the day he's going to show up. every day, I'm going to spend a little time trying to get ready so that I can fully welcome him in. If you're going to have guests staying in your home and you need to, and you've only got a limited number of bedrooms, what do you have to do? You have to clean the junk out of the room so that the guests have a place to stay. Well, if Jesus is truly going to have a place in your heart, you got to get rid of some of the stuff that might be blocking him. And that's what we're doing during the Advent season. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. And, you know, Advent is this season of hope. Hope is forward looking. You know, with hope, you don't have the end product, but you know that it's going to happen. That's my definition of really what hope is all about. We know that if we do our part to welcome Jesus during this Advent season, he's going to gladly take up residence in our hearts. But we need to do our part to make that room for him. That's the hope. This is not wishful thinking. This hope, this Christian hope, means that it is going to happen as long as we don't mess it up. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. You know, again, that idea of looking forward to what is about to happen. And as I said earlier, he is more than willing. You can count on Jesus showing up at your doorstep on December 25th. And again, I'm doing this. This is just sort of a figurative illustration that I'm using so that we have that endpoint. There's a good chance that if we were to welcome him into our lives today, there would still be some obstacles because we haven't done that preparation that Advent gives us the time to do. That's why we're doing the preparation. You know, we're thinking about it. We're praying about it. We're trying to break away from the world a little bit so that we can spend some time thinking about how we can get Jesus more involved in our lives with the idea that he will do his part. You don't have to worry about him. We have to worry about ourselves, though. Second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this. See, that's that idea of hope, confidence. I am confident that Jesus will enter more deeply into my life if I let him. I have less confidence in myself than in him. I mean, he's going to show up. He's ready. He's not going to go back on his word. I got to focus on myself because I'm the one who can mess this up. I am confident in this, that the one who began a good work in you, sort of like what we're doing during Advent, we're starting this good work of preparing for Jesus. The one who began a good work in you. And when we start to prepare, we're involving the Lord in this process. You know, a good prayer to pray, I wrote about this in my reflection last week, one of my daily reflections last week, is to pray, come Lord Jesus. Every day, the beginning of the day, come Lord Jesus, come more deeply into my life, a little bit more today. Let's, you know, work on it a little bit each day so that by December the 25th, he's going to really have a pretty large presence in my life. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So up until the time he comes again in glory, or you die and you receive your judgment, up until that time, whichever comes first, if you allow yourself to be open to it, the Lord will continue to draw closer to you, to enter more deeply into your life. He starts this good work, he's going to finish it. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase evermore and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. We need to discern what is of value. That's what Paul is saying. And I think during this Advent season, it's a good time for us to try to discern what is of value. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with baking Christmas cookies, going to Christmas parties, buying presents. These are all good things. You know, in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong. But when those things start to consume you and take away your time that you could be spending with the Lord, or at least, you know, take away your focus, if they start to cause you stress, then really that's not the intent. You remember what happened to Martha when she and Mary were had invited Jesus into their home. Martha was getting stressed out that she had too much work to do. Mary, in the meantime, sat at the feet of Jesus, spent time with him, enjoyed his company. We need to do a little bit of both in the upcoming next few weeks, because this Christmas frenzy can easily become consuming, and it could take away any spiritual growth that we could have during the Advent season. So it's just something we have to be careful about. Just make sure you spend some time with the Lord. Make sure you spend some time preparing. And that's the way you're going to have peace. If you spend a little time in prayer and do some sort of spiritual exercises during the Advent season, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to do maybe that last-minute Christmas shopping or to do those preparations. You might be able to do them without going crazy if you spend time with the Lord and experience his peace. Okay, so listen, I'm going to be praying for you, and I would ask you to pray for me, especially during this special time of Advent. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're able to leave a donation for my ministry, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. And I got to tell you, it would be very much appreciated, if you become a monthly sponsor, or if you could possibly make a one-time donation. Whatever works for you would really help me to fund my full-time ministry. Things are going to get a little slow now. I have had my last talk until, I think I have a few in February, and then Lent picks up again, but it's a slow time for me, so any financial donations you could make to my ministry at followingthetruth.com would be extremely appreciated. I hope, God willing, to be back with you next week on the program. And again, if you need anything, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Just don't go crazy with your Advent preparations. You do have to spend some time with the Lord, but you might want to start slow. Make it realistic. Don't start with 2 hours a day of prayer, because we know that's not going to happen. Start somewhat, you know, a little less time. Add to it if you can. Let it happen. And don't beat yourself up over getting just the right words. If you start with that "Come, Lord Jesus" prayer every day, he's going to respond to that. If you have a desire for him to come more deeply into your life, I guarantee he is going to take you up on the offer. But I'm going to be praying for you. If you need anything, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And have a fantastic week. And God willing, I look forward to being back with you here next week on the Gary Zimek Show. Bye-bye now.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.